because we serve a God who still turns graves into gardens, right? He literally makes highways out of the seas. Come on, church, right? We have a God that takes bones and makes armies out of them. And that same power that he used to do that is what is inside of each and every one of us. That needs to be a focus point, right? All right, so I'm going to pray before we get started, and then we will, that's going to be our deal today, is we are going to focus on the importance of the Word of God and the truth of it. So, Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for every single person here, God, watching online. I ask that you just open up our hearts to receive everything that you have. God, I surrender my voice. I yield my voice to you. And I stand here and say, have your way in this service and just in our lives, God. And we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Guys, we are in a season. I know that you guys have heard this word over and over and over, but we are going to keep saying it until it becomes something that we actually know what it is, and that is focus. The word focus, guys, it literally is the word to direct attention, a state or condition permitting clear perception or understanding. It is a point of concentration. I have heard a lot lately, and I have been one that has said this a lot lately. I'm tired. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of trying to figure out whether I need to carry a mask with me here or carry a mask with me there. I'm tired of trying to figure out who do I hug, who do I not, do we do this, do we do that, do we hold service, do we not hold service. Anybody else out there, like, just tired? And as I began to talk to someone this week just about just feeling that exhaustion, because it's not just with COVID, it's like I feel like the church is tired. There's so much in the church that's tired, and we need to get our focus back. You know, whenever I went to the eye doctor at the age of 40, and they tell you your eyes will start changing, and I'm like, my eyes ain't never going to change. And then at 40, you're like, oh, my eyes have changed. And so you go in because you're having headaches really bad, and they're like, well, that's because you can't see very well and you need reader glasses. Well, who wants readers, you know? So you just print things really, really large. Exactly. That's the way that it works. But anyways, one of the things that he explained to me was that whenever our eyes are out of focus, that it causes, the reason it causes headaches is because the muscles, they get tired. They get fatigued because they're trying to focus on something that it's almost impossible for them to do. And so you have to bring the glasses in to help bring that focus. And I was thinking on that this last week, I really began to realize that I feel like so many of us have lost focus of the Word of God that we've become spiritually exhausted. We aren't focusing on what we should be because we're seeing everything around us. About 9 weeks ago, Pastor brought a message, and he had people standing up here on the stage. And this impacted me so much that I cannot forget it. But he had all the people up here, and he was trying to read the word, and they're yelling. And at the end, I think it was Pastor Marquita, all I heard was, that was exhausting. And that's exactly the enemy's plan right now. If there is anything that we need to get our eyes on right now, and that is the harvest. And if the enemy can keep the laborers exhausted, the harvest will rot. And that is what I want to talk about, just getting in there and getting our focus back and getting energized again, okay? A few weeks later, I brought a message. Actually, it was the next week, and we had three focuses. And those three focuses were, there's going to be winds and storms and streams. There's going to be distractions. The second one was that we must believe he is who he says he is in our life. We must believe he is who he says he is in our life. And the only way to do that is to get into the Word of God, okay? And the last one was we must be willing to be set on a new course. And that is what's happening. We're being slowly set. But this week, I want to focus on that middle one. I want to go back to that because that's what I've discovered, that a lot of us are finding ourselves exhausted and we're no longer in the Word. And that's what's causing the exhaustion. So we're going to focus on the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Did you guys know 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says, all Scripture is inspired. It's breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training, in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. How many of you all know that we have a good work on this earth to do? And if we're not in the Word of God, letting it transform us from the inside out, we will not be able to do the work that we have to do. That is the Word of God. John 1:1-5. I'm going to read this out. We're going to read a lot of scripture today because we're going to be in the Word, okay? What is the Word of God? What is it? I have sat down with a couple of people in the last week, and we began studying how to study the Word. And the first thing we need to know is, what is the Word of God? Why is it important in our lives? Well, in John 1:1-5 and verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it," and it still does not. And then in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the fullness of grace and truth." The Word is Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:13 says, "He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." When we study the Bible, when we get down and we study the Bible, we are literally studying Jesus Christ. If we aren't studying that, we don't know who we're supposed to be. So I have a funny story for you guys. So we kind of cheated. We have Disney Plus, I think that's what it's called. And we kind of cheated and pre-purchased the Mulan show, movie. And I'm telling you, God speaks through TV. He just does. All kinds of movies speak to me. In one of the parts of the movie, I'm not going to give it all away because it's really, really good. But Mulan is fighting in a false identity. She's trying to fight as somebody who she's not. And the enemy comes up to her and says, "Tell me who you are, who you really are." And of course, she claims to be the false identity. And she said, "Okay, then I'll kill you in that, as that person." I can't remember the name of who she portrays. But anyways, I'll kill you as that person. And pretty much what she's telling her, until you rise up and realize who you are and be truthful with yourself, I can defeat you. And the enemy's always coming around going, "Who do you think you are? Who do you really think you are?" I was watching The Passion of the Christ with my son, and one of the things the enemy was doing in that garden was, "Who are you? Who are you?" You know, and he was like, he didn't know who he was. And I was like, "No, he's trying to get Jesus to not realize who he's questioning to see if he knows his authority." But going back to Mulan, there was a point where she realized that she had to stand in the truth of who she was. So she throws off the false identity and she rises up. And there towards the end, the person looks at her and says, "Now rise up and take your place." And she goes and she completely just devours the enemy, you know, kind of like Wonder Woman. You know, it's just kind of like that, ah. And that's what I began to realize. I had found myself just in a place where it was just like, I'm tired. I don't know what else to do. And he spoke to me so much in that movie of, you better get into the Word and realize who you are. You cannot be devoured. It is time to rise up and take your place. And that's where we're at as the body of Christ. It's time to rise up and take our place. We cannot believe he is who he says he is if we do not know him. We have to know him, guys. We will not walk in the divine power that he walked in if we do not know the divine power that he walked in. How do we figure that out? By getting into the Word of God and by studying him and knowing him. Okay? So again, guys, it is time to focus on the concentrated Word of God. No more of it getting watered down by man. Do not take what I'm speaking to you today to heart. Like, take it to heart, but don't take it and be like, "Well, that's all I need to know." Get into the Word and study these scriptures out yourself. We have a generation, I guess you could say, a generation church or whatever, that we've grown up off the Word of somebody else which was off the word of somebody else, which is off the word of somebody else, that it's become so watered down we can't taste the truth of it anymore. It's kind of like Kool-Aid. I was so tempted to get a Kool-Aid packet and walk around and have everybody taste it. And I was like, wait, you can't do that right now. We can't have people licking their fingers and sticking them in there. But it was like, now, is that, can you taste it? I mean, that'll keep your taste buds alive, right? But then watering it down, you know, get a little sugar in it, it tastes pretty good. And then the more it's watered down, the less Kool-Aid you taste. And then it just becomes water, right? That's what's happened in the body of Christ. A lot of the body of Christ is we've taken so much from what everybody else says that we're not getting it ourselves. And let me just stop here and tell you, guys, I know every one of you know somebody who knows how to study the Bible. So if you don't know how, get them, ask them. They'll teach you. They will teach you. That's what we're here for. And then looking at it like a gym. You know, we can't sit here and take, like, I don't think Matt's here today, Matt Bean. But we were at the gym one day, and he had kind of popped in a little bit. And Shannon and I were just sitting there kind of in between lifting. And I mean, just he just kind of was giving us a hard time and stuff. And I got to thinking about it later. You know, if a trainer comes in and they're just telling you what to do and you're studying the weights, because we were just sitting there at the moment, you know, it's like, it's not going to do you any good. You have a head knowledge, but it's not doing any transformation on the inside of you or on the outside of you. And that's what happens when we're just getting the word from other people. It's giving us a head knowledge, but it's not transforming us from the inside out, because the word says it's like a mirror. It goes in and it causes us to look at ourselves and say, oh, so that's the importance of getting that focus. We cannot keep taking from what other people are giving us and taking that as solid growth word, I guess you could say. I don't want to say, because you guys, we get really good word here, but take it and dig into it for yourself. Let it read you back. So again, you're going to hear this a lot this morning. Focusing, I almost said focatrating. Who says that word? That's Taylor's word. Focusing on the concentrated word of God. It transforms us from the inside out. So again, let me hear you guys. What is the word of God? Say it again. What is the word of God? Who lives inside of you? All right. We're going to get that in there. Jesus is power. He's compassion. He is love. He is fearless in the face of man, but yet he's fearless at the feet of God. I mean, fearful at the feet of God. He fears his Father. He's obedient to his Father's will. When our focus is on him, we will live a life transformed, and we will be full of that peace in the midst of the chaos around us, no matter what the chaos is. You know, I mean, just all of the songs today just were, they lined up so well. Just understanding that we've been laid to rest with Jesus Christ, but then raised back up. Our flesh has been laid down and we've been raised back up. You know, and Judy brought this to my attention this morning after we practiced. We need to learn to imagine ourselves raised up and walking out of that tomb with him. It's not just words. We are alive in Christ. He is in us. We are in him. And when we don't understand that, we're walking defeated. And you have to have the word of God for that, right? All right. So I want to bring you guys four focuses. The word of God brings so much into our lives. I mean, so much into our lives. But I could only bring it down to four so that you guys were actually out of here at a decent time, by one at the latest. But I wanted to bring it down to four. So number one, the word of God brings salvation in our lives. Of course, we have John 3:16. You know, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Then go on to 17. It says, "For he did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Do we realize that Jesus Christ is inside of each and every one of us? And it is not our job to go around judging the world. It is our job to portray him in a way that the world wants him. They want him. That is part of our mandate. That's part of what we do, right? Making disciples that make disciples, going out into the world. John 10:9 says, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." He will take care of them. He will shepherd them. He is the door. He's the way. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." We receive that salvation through Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. Many in the church stop at salvation. I'm saved. I've got my ticket to heaven, my fire insurance, however they want to put it, and I'm good to go. But do you guys realize there's so much more to salvation? So much more. I love listening to Smith Wigglesworth's books. And he's the one that I was listening to a couple weeks ago. And he said that so many people stop at salvation and they've forgotten the power that's inside of them. How can we believe God, believe a God, have faith that we can be forgiven of our sins and that we will go to heaven, but we cannot have the faith to walk in the power that he has placed inside of each one of us at salvation? How? I mean, think about that. So let's look at salvation for a second. Again, salvation is the word soteria, all right? It's deliverance, it's preservation, it's safety, it's deliverance from the illegal harassment and persistence of the enemy. Deliverance of the illegal harassment and pestering, I guess is what the word is, of the enemy. Think about that. At salvation, that minute that you say yes to Jesus Christ, the enemy has no more permission to harass you unless you give it to him. It is illegal for him to do so because of that salvation. We are invited into relationship with Jesus Christ for one purpose, and that is to be him on this earth. And when we're walking around as a defeated church, just not even understanding that he cannot harass us anymore, that's not going to attract the world because they feel the defeat. They want to see victory. We are here to be kingdom representatives and walking in power, dominion, and authority. There's so much to that. So like I said, we are invited into relationship with Jesus to be him. And we now carry that same grace and compassion for the lost that we should be out doing the same thing that he did. Walking around, signs and wonders following. Doesn't the word say that those who believe in me, signs and wonders will follow? That's what attracts the world. They want to see the power. They want to see that. That's what we're here for. Ephesians tells us that he is in us and we are in him. Therefore, we are to be the fullness of him on this earth. You guys have heard me say this. I think I taught a lot of this even in the last message that I did. Because I want us to get this. I want this to be our focus, to be an understanding that we are him and he is in us and that we have a job on this earth. And it's not to just sit around and wait for the rapture to hit so that we go to heaven. We have a people to take with us. Amen? So again, at salvation, we are filled with the same power and given the badge of authority to use it. Right? But here's the thing. We have to choose. When the enemy's coming at us illegally, we have to choose to whip the badge out and use it. You can come to me all day and say, I'm a cop, and I'm going to say, whatever. I'm not going to believe you're a cop until you show me the badge. You aren't going to pull me over and take me to jail unless I see a badge and I know that you're legal. It's the same way with the enemy. We have a badge of authority. He has no right in our lives, guys. None. And if that doesn't, we can just end right there. I mean, seriously, whip out that badge and show him. It says that he walks around as a roaring lion. He ain't a roaring lion. He's toothless. He's like a chihuahua. Yeah. Chihuahuas are like, you know, and we just are like, ow, don't bite my ankles. But instead, we're running from him, you know. And just remember that. It's as a roaring lion. Whip out that badge and show him who's boss. All right, Ephesians 3 reminds us that he is able to do far more abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think. But then there's a part in there. It says, according to the power that works in us. He can do, he's willing, he's ready. But you've got to understand what's in you to walk in it. We've got to understand that same power that is in Jesus is in each one of us. Get those badges out. I should have got badges for everybody today. Get the badges out. In Ephesians 1, Paul prayed this prayer. He said that our eyes are opened to the hope of his calling, that we will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. You guys remember in the word it says that we are heirs? We are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. We are heirs of Jesus Christ, right? What is the glory of his inheritance in our life? It's his son, Jesus Christ, and everything he holds, every part of him. Amen? So his son in our hearts, that is the greatness of the power towards us who believe. That just that solid knowing, that we are we have that inheritance inside each and every one of us. But there's so much inside of us that many have stopped at point A, and you guys, we've forgotten about points B to Z. There's so much. so much, and we've got to get focused because we have a harvest that needs us. Okay, the second one, his word has, it gives us resurrection power and restoration in our lives. Resurrection power and restoration in our lives. It is in us to bring to life the things that are dead and the things that need to be fully restored. It is in us to bring that. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That same life-giving power is inside of us. I love the story of Ezekiel, the song that we sung today, you know, the dead bones. My gosh, guys, that same power, like the guy throws the dead bones on Elisha, or the dead guy on Elisha's bones, and whoop, he springs back up. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that? That's the same, that's what's inside of us. It'd probably be kind of scary, but it would be cool at the same time. You know, it's like, here we go, shroom, throw him in, boom, he comes back out. That would be really cool. I'm ready for that. I am ready for that. And then we have Lazarus. You know, it's like we have to learn that what Jesus did, we can do. And what better way to study it than to go from Matthew all the way through to John and read about every single thing he did, because that's what we can do. You have Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, because according to their custom, their spirit would still hover over them for 3 days. So on the fourth day, Jesus knew, okay, I'll wait till the fourth day so they realize he's gone, and then I'll go in. And what does he say? He goes to the entrance of the tomb, and he's like, "Lazarus, come on, come out." You know, and here he comes walking out, and then he tells the friends, take off his grave clothes. It's a whole nother message. But guys, that same resurrecting power is inside of us, to bring to life the things that look dead in our lives, to make the way when people feel like there's no other way. We have to be that voice in their lives. What about the boy in the casket in Luke 7? There was a funeral procession going on, and Jesus comes up to it, and he realizes that, you know, what's happening, and you've got a mother who is a widow, and it's her only son who had passed away, and Jesus is like, hold up, boys, I got this. He goes over there, and he touches it, and he tells the boy to get up, takes him out of the casket, takes him to his mother. Oh, come on, guys, that's our badge of authority. Death doesn't even have a sting to the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? It does not. It is time to start speaking life into the dead things that are harassing us, and it's time to just get in there and just begin to see the restoration of God coming forth. Set back and look at that, even in your own life. If you have family that's not serving God, speak the name of Jesus over them. Speak the word over them. Get in there and pray over them. We have the power to get rid of the enemy's harassment and those who don't know. We can pray and speak and declare until God gets in there and begins to work, and we don't even realize he's working and he's doing it. Guys, it's so powerful. So powerful. The next thing that the word of God does, or the name of Jesus Christ does in our lives, is it gives healing in our lives, soul and body. Guys, he is willing. We just have to believe. And the best way to believe is to get to know him, because it says in his word he is willing. It says in Psalms 19:7, it says, the law, or the Torah, his instruction of the Lord is perfect, and it restores the soul. It restores the soul. That's healing of the soul. In Psalms 119:28, it says, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. When we're grieving, and we have things, and we can grieve over so many things. We can grieve over change. We can grieve over loss. There's so many things that we can find ourselves grieving. And you know, the only strength we're going to find to overcome that is in the word of God. Declaring that over our lives. It's in there, guys. So remember, the word of God is Jesus. Or we could say, I like to look at it like this, that Jesus is the physical manifestation of God's word. When we read the word of God and we see his walk on this earth, we are seeing the physical manifestation of God, of what he speaks and what he says. Because Jesus always said, I only do what my Father does, and I only say what my Father says. We are seeing the physical manifestation of that. So look at all that he did. All right.
Can you still hear me? Well, I just whipped my badge out. The enemy ain't going to have that voice. All right, so we'll show him with a new mic. I can be really loud too, I guess. So anyways, all right, so he is in us, willing to work in us and through us if we will literally just believe in the power of his name. He is willing, we just have to be obedient. We have to listen. So Luke 5, 12 through 13, it says, "While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And he stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said, 'I am willing, be clean.'" Guys, he's willing. We just have to believe he is willing. Healing virtue flowed through Jesus, from Jesus. It should be flowing from us. People should come around us, and when they're emotionally in turmoil, and we should be able to say, "Peace, be still." When they come to us and they're physically ill, we should be able to say, "Jesus," and speak healing. That's what is in us, guys. That's what the world is waiting for. They're waiting to see Jesus. Amen. So in Mark 5, 25 through 34, it's talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And this is the proof. I'm just giving you guys proof today of who Jesus is. This is the one who, for I think it was 12 years, the doctor, she'd spent every bit of her money on the doctors. She had given everything up. She was weak. She had bled for 12 years. Pretty much everybody had given up on her. She knew that if she could just, when he was coming through town, if she could just get to the hem of his garment, if she could just touch it. She didn't know what was really going to happen, but in her mind, she knew, if I could get down there. She touches his garment, and Jesus, okay, we're talking, there's throngs of people, guys. And people are touching. You know, they're just like, ah, people are. You've seen concerts, and that's why they have guards. But they're touching him, and he stops, and he's like, "Who just touched me?" And his disciples are like, "Jesus, come on, seriously? I mean, everybody's touching." He's like, "No, something just left me." Because she believed. She knew if she touched the hem of his garment that it was there. But here's the cool thing. So whenever you are, this goes back to the restoration. In those days when a woman had an issue of blood like that, they were considered unclean. They were considered nothing. They were not to be around people. They were to stay home. So I'm sure as she's walking through the streets, they're screaming, "Unclean," because they knew her, unclean. But what does Jesus do? Jesus reaches down and he says, "Your faith has made you whole, daughter." He restored her. He renamed her from unclean to daughter, from unclean to restored. That's the power of the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he does in our lives, guys. That is what he does. Why on earth are we not walking in it? Why are we not? So in that specific passage about the woman with the issue of blood, when he says, "Your faith has made you well," that's the word sozo, which is salvation. It is saved. He says it has saved you, healed you, made you whole, and fully restored you because you had the faith to activate it. Amen? It's time to activate. So, like I said a minute ago, if you guys have any doubt whatsoever in what you are to be walking in, you should be reading Matthew through John. And just sit down and just read it. And I was telling someone the other day as we were talking about studying the Word, I said, just look for Jesus. Just sit down and as you're reading, look for Jesus. Don't read it to just be reading words on a page. Just sit down and look for Jesus. And you will begin to see who he is, and you'll begin to realize that's in me. That is in me. When we believe in the power of his name, we will walk in it. We will. It's coming. It's here, should I say. It's here, but we're going to begin to walk in that because we believe. So let's zero in our focus on the truth in the Word of God and stop allowing the lies of the enemy and the teachings of men full of doubt to distract us. Because if there's one thing that I am determined to I don't know. I told Abe at the beginning of this year, and we talked about this at the beginning of the year, I was pretty much on my face before God, and I said, "God, I don't want to walk defeated anymore. I want to walk a life full of authority, full of power, and when I speak, my prayers are answered. When I lay hands on the sick, they are healed. That's what I want to walk in. And is it for me? Absolutely not. It's because that's what draws the lost in. when we get our focus on reaching the off of reaching the lost, we're in the wrong place. Because anything that Jesus Christ did was to reach the lost. It wasn't for self-gain. That's what we have to remember in the midst of getting to know him and walking in that power and authority. It's here. It is here. The next thing that it brings into our lives is it brings light into the dark places. So in other words, it brings freedom from all bondage. All bondage. Addiction, fear, anxiety, depression, all of it. The name of Jesus brings freedom from all bondage. In John 8:12, Jesus spoke saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is the light of the world, and that light is now inside of each and every one of us. In John 9:5, it says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So when Jesus was here, he was portraying the light of the world. This is what you guys are supposed to be doing. This is going to be in you. This is when I go to my Father's side, I'm sending back the Holy Spirit, and this is what you're going to have to do. But while I'm here, I'm that. But then look at Ephesians, okay? Ephesians 5:8 says that we were formerly in darkness, but we are now light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then on down to 13 and 14, it says, all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Does Isaiah not say, arise and shine, for the light has come? He has risen upon us. We are the light that's left in this world to bring out, to expose the darkness. And I did a post on Facebook this week because there's so much in me with this light that no matter how dark the world may look, his glory is radiating. It's radiating, and it's only going to get brighter. Guys, it's only going to get brighter. The lost are going to be drawn to that. It's like the lighthouse. And I know it's been prophesied over this house that we are a lighthouse. And the light's shining, and it's going to be drawing the people in. We are the light. So where the light is, darkness cannot exist. It cannot exist. What is darkness is actually nothing until the light comes. And then the light just exposes. It can't exist. And so I want you guys to think about that for just a second. If you're finding yourself struggling with darkness, and if you look up that word darkness, it's, I'm hoping I say this right, it's like a raffle, and it means a dark cloud, gloom, obscurity, clouded, a lack of understanding. It sounds a lot like depression, anxiety, a lack of knowledge. That's what it sounds a lot like to me. So if we're finding ourselves in that, then we really need to stop and figure out what are we plugged into. Because according to the word, where the light is, darkness cannot go with it. It cannot. And I think that's where I found myself over the last couple of weeks, was I found myself in a place of not depressed, but like heavy. And Abe, he tries to talk me through that. And I'm just like, I don't know what it is. It's just heavy. And you're frustrated. And you're just, what is happening? And I began to realize that I wasn't in the word to be in the word. I was in the word to fulfill a duty, but I wasn't in the word like I should have been. I wasn't being plugged in. And so that comes out in our character. So the power, we need to look at the power source that we're plugged into, and we need to rise up, and we need to take our place. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That is 1 Corinthians 1:18. For those of us who are saved, the testimony of the cross, Jesus Christ, is power. It is power. According to Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, those who receive the word of God for what it really is, not just reading it out of duty or out of guilt. I don't have my Bible. I have my scriptures on here, so it's kind of like my Bible. But not just reading it out of duty or guilt, but reading it for what it is. Getting in there and realizing this is the living word of God. Reading it for what it is. It says the word of God performs its work in those who believe. If it's not performing its work, we need to look at what we're believing and what we're truly plugged into. Remember that, guys. Focus. The concentration of the Word of God. focusing on that. John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is the true vine. By attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable his life to flow in and through us. When we are attached to the vine, it's kind of like, you know, the picture of the graft. They put the graft into the side and it begins to get life off of that and it begins to grow. That's what we're doing. We are attached to him and he flows in us and he flows through us. Then we cannot help but bear the fruit that honors God. If we are attached to the vine properly, we cannot help but bear the right fruit. It's going to come out. You know, the word says that they will know us by our fruit. The world knows the church by its fruit. Let's change the fruit to power and authority and might and love and compassion. But guys, like I said, we must spend time with him, getting to know him through the word of God. I have a short little video clip I want to show you guys, and this is a proof to you guys, a study that was done to just kind of show you guys the power of the word of God. You guys got it?
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80, and they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday. That's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message. One time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now, at three times a week, there was a blip on the map. Like, there was a heartbeat. Something happened. Again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was the profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life. But it was literally one, two, three, four. Something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
Bible. Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's Word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.
So how much are we in our Word? If we don't have the confidence to go out and bring somebody to Christ, we're not in our Word enough. If we're not out making disciples, we're not in our Word enough. If we're struggling with any of the stuff that they talked on there, we're not in our Word enough, guys. Our focus has to turn from the stuff happening around us back to the Word of God, back to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and active, powerful, effectual in our lives, sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So how are we transformed by the Word of God? Because as we read this, it's coming back in and it's judging the thoughts and the intentions of our heart, which is turning that back around and making us have the same thoughts and intentions of Jesus Christ. When we're walking in that, depression can't hang on. When we're walking in that, defeat can't hang on. Anxiety can't hang on. Addiction can't hang on. None of that can hang on when we are being renewed by the power of the Word of God. Guys, there's so much that we are missing if we are not in the Word. I loved that at the end of that when he said that making disciples increases by 230%. When someone's in the Word just 4 days a week. Can you imagine if you're in the Word seven, the things that are going to happen in your life? Come on, guys, for real. So what is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus brings into our lives salvation. He brings healing to the body and the soul. He brings resurrection power and life restoration. All of those things up there, that was lives being restored, things being dropped, things being changed. And he brings freedom from bondage as light exposes that darkness. Amen. So here's the thing. We are told to study and be diligent in John 14:6. It says, study and be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, accurately handling the word of truth. Remember that, accurately handling the word of truth. Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Does that not make you stop and think, maybe I need to look and see how I'm handling Jesus? How am I handling him? Because it says that we need to be accurately handling the word of truth. I know a lot of times Jesus is thrown out a slang. Oh, Jesus. You know, it's thrown out a slang. Do we realize that's not handling the truth well? Jesus is the truth. We have got to learn how to handle that name and who he is and all he represents. Our focus needs to be our eyes on the word of God, Jesus Christ, seeking him above all else. One of the things I was thinking about as I was studying the word focus is it's like the focus on a gun. It's like the metal thing that goes down. You know, that's kind of where we need to be right now, is so focused that we're seeing through that tiny hole, and our focus is the word of God straight back there. And that is all we see, no matter what's going on around us. And then everything, because kind of like those blinders, it takes out everything else, and then that's what we walk in. When our focus is that pinpoint on target, the enemy has no place, no place at all. So remember that the enemy loves to use our minds as a battlefield. He loves it. That's his favorite place to play. But we have the authority to whip out the badge and say, no more. No more playing. Emotions were placed in us by God. And this is something we have to remember also. We all have emotion, okay? God gave it to us. It's kind of like a guide to tell us whether we're doing well or we're not doing well. But it's never, he did not give them to us to drive us. We are not to be driven by feeling or emotion. So when we're feeling overwhelmed, or we're feeling like we can't go anymore, or we're feeling stressed, or we're feeling depressed, it's a guide to say, hold up, let me go back and see what have I not done recently. Oh my gosh, it's been 7 days since I've prayed or read my Bible. Maybe I need to get back in my word. Or maybe I've read my Bible every single day, but you've only done it in a rush because you had things to do and you haven't read your Bible. You know, and so be thinking about those things. Do not ever let the emotions and the feelings of the things around us drive us. The only thing that should be driving us is that pinpoint focus on Jesus Christ. So we need to learn to speak the truth, Jesus, over every situation. Philippians 2:8-10, it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those in heaven and those on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Guys, it does not say, I think some knees will bow. Maybe they might bow. Maybe. No, it says in my Bible, it says that in his name, every knee will bow. What does the word every mean? Every, all, everything. Every knee will bow. And those in heaven and those on earth. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord of all. When I read that this week, it just gave me this picture in my mind that I think we forget sometimes. Guys, we carry a power. You know that song, when you walk into the room? You know, a lot of times we look at that as when Jesus walks into a room, everything changes. That's you. He is in you. And as I was studying that specific passage this week, I just got this picture of us walking into a room, or me walking into a room, and, you know, darkness is around, but as you walk in and that light exposes, everything has to hit a knee. It doesn't matter what it is, depression, anxiety, fear, chaos, anything, sickness, disease, it has to take a knee, because I know what I carry inside of me. That's the power that we carry. Nothing can stop it except for yourself. Nothing. Get focused on the concentrated word of God. Guys, Jesus is power. He is healing and he is life. There is a song that I have listened to over and over and over for months now. And I'm going to give two little testimonies, and then we're going to actually have some prayer time, and Kayla's going to come up and do some singing. But there was, at the beginning of the year, I just began to pray over family members, and I was praying Ephesians, well, I still pray Ephesians 1 over them, that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, and that God would begin to show them the hope of his call, and they would see the inheritance they have in him, and that they would begin to walk in the power and see the power. And I prayed it, and I spoke it, and I declared it, and then I found this song, and in this part of this song, he's just like declaring into the atmosphere. He's like, Jesus for my family. You know, he's like, Jesus in the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And then he says, Jesus for my family. Guys, I am watching restoration in my family because of the name of Jesus Christ. Because of the power that he holds and the authority that we carry, I am watching it walk out day by day by day. I know there is power in the name of Jesus. I know there is. There was a story that I know you guys all know, Amy Smith. They are attending a church in Shawnee now, and she was telling a story of one of their worship guys that he wasn't singing one Sunday, and so she asked him why he wasn't singing, and he had no voice. And he said, well, I was out doing my normal jog, and he said, had his earphones in, listening to worship music, and he started hearing barking. And so he turned around, and there was these dogs around him. He's never seen the dogs before, and they were like barking, like teeth barking. And so he said he took his earphones out, and he started yelling, get back, get back, get back. And, of course, they weren't going anywhere, but they got close enough, they started biting his ankles. And he said he screamed so long and so loud that he started to lose his voice. And this was 6 days later, he still didn't have a voice. But he said at one point, he's like, I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. But at one point, the dogs are biting at his ankles, and they're like attacking him. And he stops and he says, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And he said, they kind of stopped. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And he said, these dogs turned and they ran. And he said, and I finished my jog. Guys, that's the power of the name of Jesus. Not only does it bring salvation and restoration and the things of that, but it protects. My goodness, it protects against dogs, against the yapping little voice of the enemy. Amen? Guys, there's so much to it. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to pray over you guys. If you can stand up if you want to, and we're going to end in worship. But if you have been struggling with fear, if you have been struggling with depression over all the stuff that's happening, heaviness, anxiety, any of that, I just want you guys, you can come up here to the front, you can stay where you're at, but we will be up here, and I don't even have to lay hands on you. We are going to just speak the name of Jesus over your circumstances and over your stuff. So go ahead and stand up. Guys, we have to get this. And I pray that you take this word this week and that you let it just do something inside of you. And that you go back out into this world and you show this world a perfect representation of our Jesus. Because in him, you are made perfect. And let that fruit just flow. So if anybody needs prayer, please feel free to come up. And if not, just raise your hand where you're at. I know some people don't want me in their face at the moment. That's perfectly fine. But guys, he's a healer. He's a restorer. He takes anxiety. He takes depression. He takes the heaviness. And it's all through the word of God. It's all through studying him. Amen. All right. If nobody's going to come up here, I'm just going to pray. And then you guys are free to take it. All right. So Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just declare that every knee bow right now in Jesus' name. Every knee that has tried to come in and bring any form of chaos, any form of depression, any form of oppression, God, anxieties, fear, shame and guilt, Father, all of it. I just say in the name of Jesus, take a knee. You have no place in the body of Christ. You have no place in the body of Christ. From this point on, God, I ask that you remind us day after day to whip out that badge, Father, to show the enemy who the boss is, because we have that authority. So, Father, I declare the name of Jesus over every person standing here and watching online. Father, Jesus for our family, Jesus in the streets, Jesus everywhere that we go. Because in that name, God, in that name rests everything. We give you glory. God, we give you honor. And we thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that lived and died for each one of us. And for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and empowers us, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.